And as we continue with the spotlight, the Allen Memorial Art Museum. Always something going on, not only inside but outside as well. And we have with us the director, Andrea Durstein. Thanks for stopping in as well.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, there's some construction or re-landscaping things going on the outside, right?
Well, actually, on the outside, we're on the same block as the Oberlin Inn, and a lot of the construction work you see on our block relates to the work that's going on to create a new Oberlin Inn. But actually, inside the museum, we also have a great project going on, and we're excited for people to come and see it. We're having our ceiling cleaned. It was a ceiling that was painted in 1917, and the upper walls as well, which is called a clerestory. And this is being conserved by a group from Cleveland that was founded here at Oberlin, the ICA Art Conservation group of conservators, and they've been working on this since about June, and we're just really excited to finally, after 100 years, almost 100 years of this ceiling being up there since 1917, to have it cleaned and back to its original glory.
Who looked up and said, hey, we got to do something?
I think a lot of people over the years. This is a project that's been long in the making. Right. Back even as far back as 1998, I wasn't here then, but the museum had the conservators come in and do some test cleaning. And I mean, really, there was just literally decades of dirt and grime and staining on the ceiling and the upper walls, which are painted with these beautiful foliage designs and floral motifs and animals and instruments. And it's a beautiful design that's meant to emulate kind of a 16th century French chateau. And you could make out, of course, that there was something up there. But you really couldn't see it very clearly. There's also a poem that's written on the eight corner canvases, and you couldn't tell from the floor that there were even any words up there. So we're really excited that by next commencement, by May, when we expect this to be complete, people will be able to come back into the Allen and look up and see the ceiling the way it was meant to be.
Is the area right now then sealed off, or?
It's actually, you can't walk into the middle of the sculpture court, which is the room that this is in, but you can see it from the perimeter. So we're free. The museum's always been free and open to the public. You can come in where all of the galleries of the museum are open except this one gallery, which, however, due to its size and the way it's configured, you can watch the conservators at work. They are up there right now, actually, as we speak, on the scaffolding, cleaning the ceiling. And I think day by day, our visitors, it's exciting for them because they can see this unfold in front of their eyes.
I saw an article in the Chronicle-Telegram a couple of weeks back, have it here in front of me, and it mentions how you're discovering some things up there. You can actually see some things that you might not have known existed.
Yeah, that's true. We have been able to uncover some stencils that were up there that were part of the original design. There's details in the work, the range of colors that were used that you really couldn't tell originally were there. In addition, as I mentioned, to the poem where you just could not read these words at all. And now you can see all of this really kind of unfolding before your eyes. It's very exciting.
What's the timeline then on something like
that? So the timeline is the conservators really in earnest got to work in June, and by the end of August they had basically completed the ceiling itself. They're working now, however, on the upper walls that was all painted at the same time, part of the same program, and we're probably going to have these are a little bit more difficult than the ceiling was, but they're proceeding on schedule with that. And we expect them to be done with that, I would say, in early spring. And then we're getting new lighting put into the space, which is also super exciting for us. The lighting system that was in there previously, you know, had been there since the 70s. And we're very excited about new energy-efficient lighting that will better be able to light the art. And then we'll be completely done, we anticipate, by May. So it's just great. We have actually a lot of other programs going on at the museum right now, too, in addition to the ceiling. And I think that's something that's a kind of a unique once-in-a-lifetime experience for someone to come in and see. But I kind of wanted to mention, if you don't mind,
sure,
a few of our other major initiatives this year. We have a really big show of Latin American and Latino art on view right now, and that's going to be on view all year. We were funded, actually, with a grant from the Ohio Humanities Council, which helped us to do some programming around that. And we have one thing coming up this Saturday from 11 to 3 at the museum, completely free, which is a celebration of the Dia de los Muertos, which is the Day of the Dead, which is celebrated throughout Latin America. And we're going to have craft and family activities for people of all ages, really, not just kids, but people of all ages, to make altars in kind of in commemoration of family members who have passed on, which is something that they do in Latin America on November 1st and 2nd. We'd love to have people come out for that. We also have a really great show on right now that relates to the photographs of Milt Hinton. Milt was a jazz bassist who passed away in the year 2000, and from starting in the 1930s, he was taking photographs of his compatriots, really, in the jazz world, kind of behind the scenes. He started this as his avocation. But he took photos of Cab Calloway, Dizzy Gillespie, Aretha Franklin, Billie Holiday, and we have a fantastic show on view right now at the Allen of 99 of these works. And we've got next week two fantastic programs that are both free and open to the public, and I'd love it if we could get some of your listeners to come out. On Wednesday, November 5th, we're going to do a film screening completely free in Hallock Auditorium, which is on the Oberlin campus. It's the Environmental Studies Building, and it's a film about Milt's life. It's only about an hour, so it's not a huge commitment of your evening, but it's about an hour-long film called Keeping Time, and it's about the life and legacy of Milt Hinton. It's a fabulous film. I saw it a few months ago, and we're really excited to present that to the public. And then the next night, November 6th, which is the first Thursday of the month, every first Thursday we do a special program at the museum. We're having the curators of the Milt Hinton Estate and Collection, David Berger and Holly Maxson, come out and give a public talk at the museum at 5:30, again, completely free and open to the public. They're going to talk about Milt. They knew Milt personally. They were friends with Milt. They have been taking care of these photos for a lot of their adult lives, and they're really the best people to speak to Milt and his legacy. And that same night, right after the film, we have a free public reception for the public in the museum. And Peter Dominguez, who I think you're going to be speaking to shortly, who's a jazz bassist and a bassist professor here at the Oberlin Conservatory of Music, is going to actually be playing Milt's bass in the museum, and people will be able to hear that right after having heard David and Holly speak. So we have a lot of great events coming up, and I just hope so much that some of your listeners will come out to the museum in the coming week.
It's amazing. Just you think of an art museum with sort of sculptures and stagnant things high on the wall. There's a lot of activity involved in Rome.
We have a lot going on. You know, we take very seriously our mission, which is not only to do, of course, outreach to the faculty and students of Oberlin College, which we're part of, but to do outreach to all of Lorain County, frankly, and the surrounding counties. We have a lot of K-12 student tours that come in. We have people, students from different school districts, not just the Oberlin School District, that come in. Of course, we do a lot of outreach to the faculty and students of Oberlin College, and we're really integrated into the curriculum of the college. But it really is important to us. And as I mentioned first off, we've been free since 1917. We want people to come in. We want to be your listeners' local art museum where they just feel free to come in, drop in, again, without the admission fee. You can come in for half an hour, and if you've seen what you want to see and you want to leave, that's fine. You haven't spent $20 to go into a museum.
And it's so beautiful architecture that your museum has. I was there last summer or whatever, and I was looking in the museum, and then it started raining outside, so I was kind of stuck outside of the museum, and I'm spending my time looking up, which you normally, you come in through,
yes,
an open way, you come in and out, you don't look up, as witnessed kind of like by your ceiling there that maybe people,
yeah,
don't see. You start looking at all of the detail and the painting that's up there. So everywhere in that museum is an artistic
expression. Thank you so much. You know, we're really proud of our buildings. Many people might not realize that the historic building, the one where the ceiling's being conserved and where the Milt Hinton exhibition is, it was designed by Cass Gilbert, who went on to design the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. So you've probably seen his work on TV, if not in person, but he was one of the major architects of the early 20th century. At the time our building was built, he was the architect of the tallest building in the world, which at that point was the Woolworth Building in New York. Of course, it's been surpassed many times over, but he was a major, major architect. And then our addition, we have an addition to the Art Museum, which was designed and built by Robert Venturi, who's a major postmodern architect. He went on, for example, to do the addition to the National Gallery in London and many other buildings. That's the building where our Latin American and Latino art show is. So Oberlin is, the campus in general, is just full of spectacular architecture.
Andrea, have you always wanted to be a museum director?
You know, I have wanted to be a museum director for quite a long time. I think I first thought about it as a possibility probably when I was in college. But, you know, it's one of these things that you think about and you're never sure if it will actually come to pass. But I've always loved art and history. Foreign languages, actually, travel. I mean, my background is European art history, but at the museum, we have everything from African to, as I mentioned, modern and contemporary Latin American. We're an encyclopedic art museum, but I've really been interested in art pretty much since college and history before that, and so it's been quite a long time, and I'm just thrilled with my job.
Well, it sounds like it. We can hear the enthusiasm and all the excitement that comes on, and it's great to see how the museum works with other parts of the college and tries to kind of, what are you doing? Okay, I have this that can add that piece to be a part of it as well. So
yeah, that's right. We really are proud of the fact that we're integrated into the college curriculum. For example, in the spring semester of 2014, 2014 of this year, just within a 14-week period, we had over 2,900 visits by Oberlin students to the museum in classes. And we have an Office of Academic Programs that really works to do outreach to the college campus and to make sure that artworks are integrated into the professors' classes. They worked with 38 different departments and disciplines here at Oberlin.
Don't they end up in the students' dorm rooms?
Some do. In fact, yes, you're referencing our art rental program, which is really unique and very exciting for the students here. It's been going on continuously since 1940. It's never had a break. Even when a few years ago the museum was closed a bit for a renovation, we continued with the art rental program, so it never had a break. But that's a program where Oberlin students and, frankly, members of the community, if the students haven't kind of had things become sold, you know, had things
taken them all.
We have this art rental program. So once a semester, students can line up. They often camp out overnight to be first in line to rent works of art from a special collection within the museum called the Art Rental Collection. But we've got original works of art in that collection from Liechtenstein and Picasso and Jasper Johns, Toulouse-Lautrec, even some medieval manuscript leaves. So the students can live with these. And the founder of the program was a professor here at Oberlin. At that point, when she founded it, she was the art librarian, Ellen Johnson, who was a legendary professor of modern and contemporary art who passed away in the 1990s. But her whole point in creating this program was she felt that if students, and really if anyone, was able to live with a work of art, that's where you can really develop your eye. You can develop an aesthetic sensibility. You can develop an appreciation for art, not just by going in and seeing it at a museum, which of course we hope people do, but by really living with it on a day-to-day basis. And she's, I think, been very successful in her goals some 75 years later, right. Almost.
I like the whole idea of camping out to get a piece of art. It's
yeah.
A whole different student, I guess, that has that mentality, but it's obviously something that really makes it special and unique. Our guest today, Jennifer Call, the Allen Memorial, or I'm sorry, Andrea Durstein, the director of Allen Memorial Art Museum. I'm getting excited because the bass is getting tuned up over there.
Yeah, so people can come out and hear Peter themselves next week if they want to.
Peter Dominguez coming up next. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you so much. It's been great to talk to you both.